I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met his match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Rise and shine, America. Rise and shine. I'm just wondering today, what has to be the bottom? I mean, I'm looking around and watching what's going on around me and wondering, if this is not bottom, what could possibly be bottom for America? We're not ready to do what's necessary to preserve our liberty. We're not ready to do what's necessary to secure the integrity of the Constitution and control our government. We're simply not ready for that. And I realize that you know, that's just human nature and that's how things are. And I look at our Declaration of Independence, and Thomas Jefferson reminds us that that's just the way things go. The whole introduction to the Declaration of Independence is just a comment on human nature. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve their political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And then, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these, our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new governments, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem the most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. See, that's where we are right now. We are at a point where we are beyond the light and transient causes, but still within that window of disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable. We're not ready to right ourselves by abolishing the forms because we're too accustomed to them. We've become too comfortable. There's way too much comfort in America. And I weep. I really do. You don't know how often I watch the news or I read a report or I see something on the internet and I hear something on the radio and I cry. I mean, it is shocking, it is disturbing to me the level of depravity that our government has sunk to and the tolerance of our people for their wickedness. And then I weep and I realize that it's going to have to get worse before people are willing to do what's necessary. But you know, it's not the worseness that... I'm an attorney, I'll make up words. It's not the worseness that makes me weep. It's who's going to have to suffer. Because, you know, I know history. It's what I teach. I teach the 1,000 years before today that it took to create our Constitution, the time-tested, blood-bought principles that make our constitutional republic the greatest form of government on this planet, when followed, when respected. And I'm not talking about respected by the politicians, because our framers really never expected the politicians to respect their limitations. It's the people who have become disrespectful of their Constitution. And I weep over who will pay the price. That's the real problem here. See, we are comfortable. And human nature and hysteria dictates that we are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms for which they are accustomed. It's our children, if we keep going in this precise repetition of history. It is our children and our grandchildren who will have to fight for what we have lost. Samuel Adams said, "If we tamely suffer the lawless attack upon liberty, we involve others in our doom." It's a serious consideration that should weigh heavily upon our hearts, that ages and millions yet unborn will be the miserable sharers of our experience. Thomas Paine made a plea to his people and said, "If there be trouble, let it be in my day, so that my child may have peace." Mercy Otis Warren said, "If we do not destroy liberty today, destroy tyranny today, our children will bow tomorrow." This destruction of liberty is not something that you and I are going to pay for unless we wake up and stand up and realize that there's something worth fighting for. And if it's not just for your liberty, look into the eyes of the children in your lives and realize that this is something worth standing for them. I want you to realize that we have become a completely lawless people, a conveniently lawful people. Is a completely lawless people. When we respect the laws when they are convenient to us, when the government follows the law when it's convenient to them, when we keep limited government when it's convenient for us, then that's a completely lawless nation, a completely lawless people. And the problem is, we've created this reality. There is no better understanding of this situation that we're in than what Frederick Bastiat wrote in his book, The Law. We have forgotten that the law is the collective organization of the individual right to lawful defense. Each of us has a natural right from God to defend his person, his liberty, and his property. These are the three basic requirements of life. If you don't have the right to defend your person, your liberty, and your property, then the basic requirements of life are missing. And the preservation of any one of them is completely dependent upon the preservation of the other two. For what are the faculties but the extension of our individuality? And what is property but an extension of our faculties? If every person has the right to defend, even by force, his person, his liberty, and his property, then it follows that a group of men have the right to organize and support a common force to protect these rights consistently. And there you have the reason for the form of government. The only reason for a form of government is to protect collectively our individuality in our persons, our liberties, and our properties. The principle of collective right, its reason for existing, its lawfulness, is based on individual right. And this is why we have government. And since an individual cannot lawfully use force against the person, liberty, or property of another individual, then common force, we call government, for the same reason, cannot lawfully be used to destroy the person, the liberty, or the property of an individual or groups. And such a perversion of force would be, in both cases, contrary to the understanding of natural law of life, liberty, and property. You see, if I can't do something lawfully to my neighbor, then there is no justification for government to do that as a collective force to me. If it's illegal for me, it is illegal for government. So what happens when government exceeds its proper function and becomes lawless? It's not done so in inconsequential or debatable matters. Because you see, our government has exceeded its purpose and has become unlawful, and it is being applied to annihilate the justice that it was supposed to maintain. It is limiting, destroying the rights which its real purpose was to respect. And the law has placed the collective force at the disposal of unscrupulous, immoral people who want without risk to exploit our people, our lives, our liberties, and our properties. It has converted plunder into a right in order to protect plunder, and it has converted lawful defense into a crime in order to punish lawful defense. Our government has perverted its purpose and the law, and the people have become immoral. Fatal tendency to government is that it will escape its boundaries. Our framers absolutely knew this. This Bastiat, the law, was written after the creation of our Constitution. But the interesting thing is that Samuel Adams discussed this in 1772 in his dissertation, The Rights of Man. And so this is not a new invention by Bastiat. This is an understanding of human nature and government. And when you understand history, how it replays, and you understand how government works, then you understand that this is a fatal tendency. And we are now suffering from a government who has made plunder legal for its behalf and has made self-defense illegal for its behalf. See, the proper purpose of law is to use its power of collective force to stop the plunder of life, liberty, and property. And since laws are made by the representatives of the people, and laws cannot operate without the sanction and support of this dominating force, we have to trust those who make the laws to sustain the laws for the protection of life, liberty, and property, and not for the opposite. The problem then becomes when the lawmakers are left to their own whims and their own designs and their own personal greed and their own personal gain. And then what happens is that the laws are not created for the preservation of the individual life, liberty, and property. Laws are then created to oppress liberty and to destroy property by plunder. This is usually done for the benefit of the person who makes the law and in proportion to the power that he holds. That's the fatal tendency of government. And that's why our constitutional republic was so important, was because we were not trusting the lawmaking to people who were appointing themselves, but trusting lawmaking to those who operated by the consent of the governed. And what happens is now that law has become lawless and legal has become plunder, people naturally rebel against that. When plunder is organized by law for the profit of those who make the law, all the plundered classes try to, by peaceful or revolutionary means, fix that. And then you're into this negative feedback circle where people who are creating the laws are operating contrary to their purpose, creating laws that deny life, liberty, and property. The people who are being victimized by the laws, denial of their life, liberty, and property, become rebellious to those laws. There is a common disregard for law, and then the people become distrustful of their government. The government then has to exercise more force over the people to compensate for their distrust because the government has become lawless and is engaged in plunder through legal means. And then those who stand for life, liberty, and property, if you stand for the morality of a constitutional republic and the limited nature of government, the government's going to look at you and say, you're dangerous. You're subversive. You are trying to destroy our society. When in reality, it is the government that has destroyed society through their disregard for their proper purpose. And those who are trying to reestablish the proper purpose are the ones who are enforcing the law. And then the enemies of liberty, because they possess the most power, decide that those who defend liberty are the enemies to them and the enemies to society. And now you understand the condition that we're in when we have the federal government taking up land, cities appointing illegal aliens, murder and destruction paid for with our tax dollars, and we are called the enemy to government.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
The solace and understanding that we should take from this is knowing that this is nothing new, that this is just how government works, and this is just how people fall apart when they become comfortable and they become more willing to suffer evil than to change what they've become accustomed to. The problem is that we've become accustomed to this tyranny. We've become accustomed to this oppression. And we're willing to suffer it because it's sufferable, because we're comfortable. we're not even realizing that we're not comfortable. We're oppressed. We are existing in situations of sanctioned slavery and monopoly. Government funded and operated oppression and robbery. All of these are now the purpose of government rather than to actually uphold life, liberty, and property. And as a result of legal plunder, those who would preserve life, liberty, and property have become the enemies, the seditionists, accused of treason, when in fact it's the government who is acting against the law and contrary to the means. Look, I'm just trying to show you that there is hope in understanding that our situation is recoverable, but we cannot wait too long and make our children pay for this. The federal government wants to round up wild horses in Arizona. The government, the Forest Service, has placed a Friday deadline on wild horses roaming in Toronto National Forest for those who wish to make a claim on individual animals, and the remaining horses, wild horses, roaming free on federal preserved land, will be sent to auction, and those unable to be auctioned will be sold at private sale or condemned and destroyed or otherwise disposed of according to a notice given by the Forestry Service. And this is the absolute thing that I've just been absolutely describing to you. Wasn't the purpose of creating the national forest, isn't that what we're told? That the purpose of creating the national forest was to preserve the wildlife, to allow the wild creatures to live free and unencumbered from man's destructive forces. And now they're going to come in to the national forests and destroy them? The very law has become the destruction it was supposed to prevent. And we wonder why there's absolutely no regard for government anymore. There's a complete and utter disrespect for it because it operates contrary to its means. And now the government is going to fund with your tax dollars. Let's put this in proper perspective. They have used your tax dollars to steal this land from you and determine it to be a national forest for the purpose of preservation. And now they're going to use your tax dollars to destroy the wildlife on the land that they stole from you to begin with. This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. This is why our states must take back their property. Arizona had better wake up and realize if they continue to allow the federal government to control their land, that there will be nothing left. Seriously, this is insanity. I cannot even begin to comprehend why an entire state of people would allow a single federal government to exert such enormous power over them to the destruction of their land and their property and their lives and their liberty. Why? How is that even possible? And how is it that Arizona has to stand on its own to defend its property? Listen to what James Madison said. Quote, "But ambitious encroachments of the federal government on the authority of the state governments would not excite the opposition of a single state or a few states only. They would be signals of general alarm. Every government would espouse the common cause. A correspondence would be open. Plans of resistance would be concerted. One spirit would animate and conduct the whole. The spirit of the sovereignty of the states to preserve the liberty of the people," Madison says, "would come together as a whole, and the federal government trying to steal land and property and and kill its natural resources of the state of Arizona wouldn't be the state of Arizona standing alone. It would be the entire state of the in the unions. All of the states within the union would stand as a concerted effort against the federal government doing this to one state. Because of the spirit of state sovereignty, because the spirit of state sovereignty to protect the lives, the liberties, and the properties of people would override that of the single power of the federal government. And then Madison says, but what degree of madness could ever drive the federal government to such an extremity? Do you hear that? Madison's like, are you kidding me? How is it possible that the federal government would ever become so freaking insane that it would ever try to steal the life, the liberty, and the property from a state? That would be crazy. Madison said, that would be insane. That would be political suicide for the federal government to do that. Because all the states would then come against them. And there you have the condition that we're in. The fact that we have become so enslaved by an errant system and a complete and utter disregard for life, liberty, and property, that we are suffering evil, and we still find it sufferable. We have a government that is in complete disregard for the law. We have two illegal aliens who have been appointed to public office in California. Two illegal aliens appointed to city commissions in Huntington Park on Monday. Hello. Do we have any understanding how that violates the law? How appointing illegal aliens to government violates the law? Immigration law 8 U.S.C. Code 1324 states that it's a crime to either knowingly or recklessly conceal, harbor, or shield from detection, or attempt to conceal, harbor, or shield to detection, transport, or move, or attempt to move, or to even encourage or induce an illegal alien to enter or reside in the United States knowingly or in reckless disregard of the fact that such coming to, entry, or residence is or will be a violation of the law. It's not only a crime to actually commit these offenses, but it's a crime to even attempt to do so. And anybody found guilty of violating 8 U.S.C. Code 1324 is subject to fines, prison, or both. 8 U.S.C. Code 1611, which sets forth specific federal benefits that cannot be given to illegal aliens. Quote, notwithstanding any other provision of law, as provided in subsection B, which is for emergency health care services, an alien who is not a qualified alien is not eligible for any federal public benefit. 1611 describes a benefit as any grant, contract, loan, professional license, commercial license provided by any agency of the United States or appropriated funds of the United States, any retirement, welfare, health, disability, public or assisted housing, post-secondary education, food assistance, unemployment benefit, or any other similar benefit which payment or assistance are provided to an individual, household, or family eligible unit by an agency of the United States or appropriate funds of the United States. And there you go. This is a complete denial of two federal laws on immigration, allowing illegal aliens, appointing illegal aliens to government service. You know they will be receiving federal benefits, and in the very least, they know they're illegal, which means they could be serving up to 10 years in prison for each illegal immigrant. And then the government denies the law, and then the people disrespect government And now you have a completely lawless society. You have the federal government plundering and stealing property from people so that the people cannot respect the federal government and the federal laws. A complete and total disrespect and distrust of the federal government now. And now our cities are joining into the realm of becoming unlawful and illegal. And we are called the seditionists. We are the ones that are radical for wanting government to follow the law. Can I mention to you that I am severely disappointed in Rand Paul? Severely disappointed. You know, I don't endorse candidates, but Rand happens to be on the right side more often than the rest. But I am severely disappointed in Rand Paul. I never thought that I would be able to say this. Well, when he endorsed Mitch McConnell, okay, that was another point in time where I was severely disappointed in Rand Paul. But this makes me doubt Rand Paul's sincere understanding of liberty and the government's purpose of right to life, government's purpose to protect the right to life, liberty, and property. I don't know that Rand Paul can be considered a liberty fighter based on this. The weapon of my choice, don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my gun.
Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So there are some things that Rand Paul has done that has disappointed me, but this one disappoints me greatly. I will remind you that Rand Paul is the politician, the senator who shut down the government over potential use of drones and the appointment of the head of the CIA over his position on the use of drones. He is also the senator who shut down the government on filibusters over the NSA spying on us and caused the temporary expiration of Section 215 of the Patriot Act. So he has shut down the government on potential drone use. He has shut down the government for NSA spying. But now he says that it is that these funding of Planned Parenthood and the videos that we have seen over the destruction of babies and their parts and the sale of their parts to the highest bidder. We have human trafficking of American babies and the sale of their body parts in video in front of our face. And Rand Paul says, that's not worth shutting down the government. Really. I don't understand. He says, I've always voted to defund Planned Parenthood. I would continue to vote to do so. And I think that the power of the purse is something that we should use. But this is not something that we should shut down the government over. I'm very disturbed by that. Would you shut down the government over this if it comes to that? He was asked. Well, I think that's a matter of perspective. I don't want to shut down the government. But I do want to give instructions to the president on how to spend money, not just on Planned Parenthood, but on 1,000 different items. You know, this is not 1,000 different items, Rand. This is worse than potential drone usage. This is worse than the government spying on our emails and listening to our phone conversations. This is the destruction of life and liberty right in front of your face in the most horrible, gruesome, and barbaric things. And if this is not worthy of shutting down the government, Senator Rand Paul, then I don't know why you ever did it before. But once again, Bastiat tells us that when government perverts the law and becomes perverse, the consequences are that no society can exist unless laws can be respected. And the safest way to make the laws respectable is to make sure that they always preserve life, liberty, and property. And now we know that our government operates contrary to natural law, operates contrary to our own moral standing, the moral standing of natural law, and that people cannot respect government any longer. Problem is, we're going to suffer this evil because we find it still sufferable. We've become used to abortion, so it's not a big deal. We weren't used to government spying. We weren't used to drones, and so we can shut down the government over that. But unfortunately, our society has become used to abortion, and now seeing it in front of our faces is not so horrible. That is evil. Problem is, our children will pay for this. Hamilton says, "Is it not better, I ask, to suffer a few present inconveniences than to put yourselves in the way of losing everything that's precious? Your lives, your property, your religion are all at stake. I do my duty, I warn you of your danger. If you should still be so mad as to bring destruction upon yourselves, if you should still neglect what you owe to God and man, you cannot plead ignorance in your excuse, Mr. Paul. Your consciences will reproach you for your folly, and your children's children will curse you. America, how long will we suffer this evil to maintain our conveniences? Who will pay the price for our selfish comfort? When will we see the end of the long train of abuses and establish new guards for our future security of life, liberty, and property? It's all there right in front of our faces. We just have to see the reality. God bless. See you tomorrow.